Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a show for couples who have been struggling with infertility or miscarriage. Maybe the Lord has led you to foster or adopt, and we just want to walk with you on your journey and encourage you to cling to Christ no matter what.
That's right. So we hope that we can be there for you during those times of celebration and times that you're still feeling like you're walking through the desert, you know, because we've definitely been there. Mm-hmm. Today could feel like one of those desert places mm-hmm. that we're going to discuss. Mother's Day, we always try to take really seriously. I mean, it's serious mm-hmm. fun. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it could be serious as you're walking through infertility mm-hmm. or if you've walked through miscarriage and you know that you should have a baby in your home by now, you know, to call you mama. And so we want to be there for you mm-hmm. during that time. And so we hope that, you know, this show encourages mm-hmm. you a little bit. We're calling this a roundtable discussion
yes.
about Mother's Day, just to make it feel serious, right?
And to dump introduce it our roundtable,
yes.
we have two guests with us today, and y'all, they are Hannah's Heart A-list.
Yeah, guests. For sure. That y'all need a paycheck by now.
Yes,
so.
Right? So I'll introduce our first guest is Emily Brooks. And if you haven't heard her episodes, we'll try to put those links in the description if you're watching on Hannah's Heart on our streaming platform or Facebook or any of the places that you find us online. Yep. We'll try to throw those into the description because you need to hear the full story. But specifically asked Emily on because scripture just kind of like squirts out of her. It just flows. Like she opens her mouth and like she has walked through that. Squirt might not be the squirt. Best word.
bubbles.
There you go. But yeah, she has adopted two beautiful and wonderful children. You can hear the full story in her episode, but we're so glad to have you here, Emily.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
And Lauren Watson, y'all probably like, yeah, we've heard of her before. she's a returning guest, or I would call her like a co-host. Mm-hmm. But she's coming on today. She is still, Lauren, you would say you're still in the waiting, mm-hmm. wondering how the Lord's going to answer these many, many, many prayers. And so, Lauren Watson, say
so
hi.
So glad to be here.
but she's on today. And so, yeah, we're just kind of coming at different angles mm-hmm. to talk about Mother's Day. And, you know, was it a really hard holiday for you or, you know, like... Yeah. All the things, because we do fully acknowledge, even if you don't have babies in your home yet, we all do have mamas. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, though, people don't feel like those mamas deserve to be celebrated. Mm. And then sometimes people are like, my mom's the best mama ever, so she deserves to be celebrated. So anyway, Mother's Day can be, ugh.
What if we start with Lauren, since she's the one that's currently still in the wait for kids? Like, has Mother's Day in the past been a trigger for you or not so much?
Oh, for sure. Okay. So, Mother's Day, I used to dread it. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to go to church, but did, mm-hmm. and would sit in the back and cry. Now it's gotten better. There have been, I know my pastor's wife she's an amazing lady, but she came to me, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, and she knew that Mother's Day was tough for me mm-hmm. and she came to me and she said, I'm gonna ask you this and you can say no. She was like, but we need one more person that can work in the nursery.
Oh wow.
She said, and I know that might be hard. She said, and if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. She said, but I fully understand. She said, but I thought it might help you. Mm-hmm. And so I said yes. And that point, I think it was 2 years ago, that Mother's Day, since then, Mother's Days have been easier for me.
Mm. Wow. What do you think about that? Like, how did that help you working in the nursery?
I mean, getting to hold babies, getting to love on babies, even though they weren't mine, you know?
Yeah.
And that could have been preparing me for what the Lord's laid on our hearts to do. I don't, you know, as far as foster care and things. So I'm not sure if that was it or what, but I'm glad for that, you know, that little push that, that I got, you know.
Well, and I didn't mention this in your intro, but we need to attach or add her her shows. Episodes. Yeah, but so people can hear what all you've walked through to get to today, you know. And I think we even called your show last time, like, I have nothing, there's no update. And that's what you were feeling like at the time, but you really did have an update. And so anyway, no, just thank you for being here, because it is vulnerable. And then, I mean, I even remember the times that I would be the only one at the table without kids. And I would honestly feel like I was looked at differently because I didn't know the struggle and I didn't understand what it was like to get up in the middle of the night and things like that. There's a different, I feel like, respect level. I'm not saying that people with kids disrespected me, but it felt like I was always the one available who could stay later after work. I was always the one available, you know, because I didn't have kids. And it was just another gruesome reminder of that, you know.
Now, Anne, just going to your story, Mother's Day was a big trigger for it right? And you chose to kind of stay home some Sundays.
Yeah. And people really might disagree with that decision. And I totally understand if you're like, you do need to go to church, because I'm all about going to church.
Yeah, the don't forsake the meeting together verse.
Like, I totally.
You're not like.
I'm not saying yeah, you just don't have to go. I did feel that way. Our church, love our church, but our church, it's also baby dedication. Every Mother's Day, it's also baby dedication. And so I would sob. Like, the Sunday, it was, we had just walked through another miscarriage, and there we were at church honoring our sweet mamas. Oh, also, and there's baby dedication. And, like, it did me no good. And I hate to say that church did me no good, but it was like, this feels like torture today, God. And so after that, and it was Will that ended up saying, like, let's not go to church. Like, it is okay. Me and you.
Take that day to pray together. Yeah,
and we did. We would, he would celebrate me, you know, because we do acknowledge those miscarriages as babies that should have been in our house. And so he would always still get me some type of Mother's Day little happy. And we would go on a walk. We went on a bike ride one year because we still wanted to be, like, in town to celebrate our moms then for either lunch or dinner, you know, however we did that. And so that's just what we did. And honestly, it kind of sticks to this day. Not because I'm against going to church on Mother's Day, but now it's become like kids help with breakfast this morning. And we just sit and we'll watch the worship or, you know, sermon on TV, or we will just read scripture out of their Bible verses, and we just take the time to have church at home. And so I don't know if we're gonna do that this year, but,
and like you said, not everybody's convictions are the same on this. Like, for me, I felt like our family needed to be in church, and I felt like some of my reasons for not going were things that I needed to personally work through, that they were not good reasons, and everybody's situation is different. But I think for some people, the things that they have to work through are maybe being nervous in a public setting about their personal emotions, feeling like they're kind of on display. You know, we had JJ Jasper on for one episode, and he shared some really great, I think, ideas about what his church did, where they, rather than just acknowledging all the mothers, which is great on Mother's Day, they also pray for anyone who's struggling with infertility. And he said that there was this church that did that year after year, and they saw year after year people who were courageous enough to come to church that day specifically to be prayed for, that later, the very next year, there was a child in their home, or God had broken through in some amazing ways. So I think there's something to be said for knowing what your family needs and knowing, like, do we need to pause? Do we need to be home? Or does the Lord need me to be in that service to be able to confront whatever it is I'm working through? But Emily, you and I were talking off air that, you know, those, not everybody relates to feelings of jealousy of other moms when they become a mom. But I think Mother's Day can mark for us timing of, this is yet another year where this unfulfilled desire is not yet met. What was your experience Mother's Days before children were in your home?
Well, I honestly did not have the sadness or the frustration wrapped around not being a mom for Mother's Day. I thank the Lord for protecting me in that. Mm-hmm. I was able to focus on my mom and mm-hmm. my mother-in-law and just know that mm-hmm. the Lord's timing was not yet. And it honestly didn't affect me. And I don't know that I put much stake in that mm-hmm. day. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep. It was the whole emotional journey of being yes. trust God and his timing.
Yes.
That is true, because it is literally a man-made yeah. holiday. Mm-hmm. And like our moms do deserve to be celebrated, mm-hmm. but it's like actually God didn't actually create, like it is just another right. Sunday, you
yeah,
know?
It's another and, Sunday in the journey yeah. waiting.
That's a very good way to put it. It's like actually it's not different than last Sunday, you know? Right. Like mm-hmm. we're going to all eat lunch together today, but like some families do that every single Sunday, which I love that idea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a very good point. I don't know if I've ever even thought about that before. Like it actually doesn't have to hold that heavy of a burden mm-hmm. because it is a man-made holiday.
Well, know? And the Lord is on the throne every day, right. you know? And yeah. so like let's, on this next part, let's jump into some tips or verses that kept you centered during your season of childness, something that has really helped you. And because Emily is the only one who brought a notebook with her full of scripture, we'll just start with you. Like, let her go.
Let her go.
Let her spurt.
Well, when I was thinking about just preparing for this conversation, the first verse that came to mind was a verse that the Lord gave to me when we were waiting in our first adoption journey, and I was feeling the effects and the burden of the weight. It had been close to 3 years at this point. Wow. And I was just reading through a normal morning of devotions, and he led me to Isaiah 49:15-16. And it says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And I carried that verse. And if you've seen any of our videos through AFA or my podcast earlier, I mentioned this verse a lot because it was so necessary for me at that moment to be reminded that God had not forgotten me. And to the point where he has engraved my name, because I am a child of God, on his hands. And then on Sunday, this past Sunday, our pastor was doing a sermon, had nothing to do with this, but he said a phrase that stood out to me, and I had to write it down. And he said, the best place to be is in God's hands. And he used this scripture, Isaiah 40:12, and it says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed mountains and seals and the hills in a balance? And the span, the word span in that verse, is the measurement between the thumb and the pinky.
Huh. Wow.
And so the Lord marked the heavens between wow. his thumb, and that's how large his hand is. So wow. what better place to be in God's hand, in the mountaintops when the Lord is answering prayers and we're seeing him, but also in times where we are suffering and we're waiting and we're just unsure of when and if he is going to answer the desires of our hearts.
Yeah. You know, that temptation to feel forgotten is so real for people that don't have a child in the home. I remember specifically struggling with that. And you know that God knows you and hasn't forgotten you. But somebody was praying over me, and they just said, you know, the Lord remembers you and he sees you. Mm-hmm. And just that acknowledgement that, like, my woes weren't lost. In fact, scripture even says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So not only has he not forgotten you, I think there's an extra level of closeness in those seasons of brokenness.
Yeah. Lauren, do you feel the same? Like,
oh, yeah. And one of the verses that was coming to my mind is in the story of Hannah. I can't remember the exact verse, but at the end of that verse, it said, and the Lord remembered her. And
right.
that is something that I go back to, that even though I'm still, you know, 6, almost 7 years into this, that I'm not forgotten. You know, it may look differently than what I had envisioned, but I'm not forgotten. So that's a part of a verse that I go back to, that the Lord remembered Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the same God today as he was then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
by the way, scripture flows out of Lauren also. she's another squirter
she
over here.
Spit it up. Yeah, squirt it up.
But yeah, especially I've seen as you've walked through your journey, like even just on Facebook, it's been really encouraging to see you post scriptures and taking that initiative to encourage other people specifically with God's word. I've gotten to see you just in the short time that we've known you. I sense this just maturing, that the Lord is using this process to draw you closer to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I will say the Hannah's Heart Hangouts are a big help in that. That just being around other people who are walking through what you're walking through, and then you get to interact with them, you get to hear what God has, what God's doing in their life, and then that that helps you.
Well, and for those of you that don't know, if you are in the Tupelo area, we do have a fellowship that we get together about once a month, every other month, just to pray together and encourage each other. Yep. And I will say, too, it's not just about getting together with people that are going through the same thing, but specifically people whose eyes are going to be on Jesus during that thing. Because otherwise, it turns into a gripe session, if not, and just, you know, you can leave feeling worse than when you came. But when you come around other people who carry the light and they just say, I feel you, I sympathize with you, I hurt with you, but Jesus, but Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, can I encourage you? Because my husband and I waited about 7 years for our first child. And through that time, I would go, it actually started back in college, and the Lord laid on my heart the importance of remembering his faithfulness. And so every year, starting in college, I would take time to journal all the ways, whether it was what he showed me in scripture or answers to prayer or whatnot, like, this is what the Lord has done in my life. And then whenever I hit a hiccup in health battles or whatever it was, I would go back and see. And he tells us to do that in the Old Testament, right? Yeah. He's like, stack those stones. Remember what I did for the Israelites. Remember what I've done for you. Because there will be hard times. But in that, he is still faithful, and it's important to look back. And so that was something in my seven-year journey of waiting for the Lord to answer the prayer and bringing us children through adoption was, he hasn't answered this prayer yet, and I do know that his answer is yes, no, or wait. And right now I'm in the wait, and I don't know whether it's going to be a yes or a no. But I know that he was faithful here, and he was faithful here, and he answered this prayer, and he answered this prayer, and that gave me so much hope and encouragement to know that whatever the answer was, whether that was for us to have children or not, or what that looked like when he answered, that I knew that he was going to be faithful in that answer.
That's right.
So, I love that you mentioned the stacking up the stones thing, because I love that, you know, they would be wandering and coming back to that place. And then it's like a physical monument that you would see to be like, I can't deny God did something for me one time. And he'll do it again.
Over and over and over again.
How about you, Anne? Anything that God has led you to do to keep him as the center during Mother's Day in the past?
So I think I talked about this on one of our Mother's Day episodes, but this might sound kind of silly or juvenile, I don't know. But one Mother's Day, Will got me a magnolia tree, a little bitty magnolia tree, and we planted it in our front yard. And that was, I think, 2 years later. We now had three kiddos in our home through foster care. Two kiddos have since returned to biological mom, and y'all know the story of Mark's adoption. And so he stayed with us for forever. But that next Mother's Day, so 2 years after he had gotten me this tree, it had its first bloom. And at the time, I didn't know, but I was pregnant with Jane on that Mother's Day when it bloomed for the very first time. And I just, like, it was such a simple, and I'm not saying, like, that tree now means life. Like, I'm not saying that. But I do think the Lord can use trees, whatever he wants of his creation, right? To, you know, encourage us and just remind us to look back at him. Because when that flower bloomed, I just thought, like, oh, it's pretty. It bloomed. And then 2 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant with Jane. And so then kind of, like, even thinking about, like, God, like, you keep your promise. And not that I had had a promise that I had heard God audibly say, like, you're going to have a baby. But God's promise is to be good to us. And, yeah, if we allow him, he will give us the desires of our heart if we allow those desires to be his desires. And so getting to, you know, look back and see, like, God, you're good in the waiting And when that prayer, you know, seems to be answered the way that we want it to be. But yeah, honestly, I wish I would have thought about Mother's Day the way you're talking about.
Like, well, now we can encourage other moms.
It's just another Sunday.
But one of the verses that the Lord gave me in our second adoption journey goes right along with what you're saying. And it's from Psalms 27, 13, and 14. And it says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We are going to see his goodness no matter what. And we're going to see his goodness in the wait, too, if we're looking for it.
Understanding God's promises, as you're talking, there's a verse that the Lord brought it back to my mind. I think it's Jeremiah 1:12, and it says that the Lord watches over to see that all of his promises are fulfilled. And I was really struggled with that because I wondered, has the Lord promised me a child? And I couldn't with all certainty say, yes, he has promised me. And some people maybe feel differently if you feel like you've heard from the Lord. But I didn't feel like the Lord had promised me a biological child. So I was like, well, what does this verse mean to me then? What is the Lord watching over to see that it is fulfilled? And I looked throughout Scripture and saw all of these verses of his goodness, his character, his faithfulness. There's not anything that he promises us that will not be fulfilled. And that word about watching it, there's something to do with the almond tree, where it is the first to have a bud, but the last to bloom. And I'm forgetting the passage of Scripture, but he's watching it, because once you see that bud, it's like, it is going to fruit. It is going to fruit. It just takes the longest time to come in that waiting.
One thing, I don't know if this could be encouraging at all, but in my Bible, I guess it was the Lord that led me to start writing these type of verses that we're talking about that brought us strength and, you know, all the encouragement and whatever convicted us during this time of waiting. I just wrote a baby and wrote the date with it. And so now as I'm going through, I go through, you know, random devotions or when I'm, you know, looking at different scriptures, it's neat to be reminded, like, I remember that day I wrote a baby and it was 2017 at the time, you know. And so it's neat to look back. And so I don't know, I just encouraging someone still in the wait. It's also, a wait is a verb, right? So like we're not told to wait and passively wait again, right? As we're sitting on the couch not doing anything. Rather that's serving others, like what you're talking about, Lauren, serving in the nursery that day, that actually ended up ministering to you. You know, we're saying, okay, wait, and you're trusting that God's going to do whatever he wants to do and that you're going to end up being really, really blessed in the end, no matter what that wait looks like. If we're actually allowing the Lord to take those desires and make them his own, then whether you have a biological baby, whether it's adoption, whether it's foster, however, the Lord's going to bless you at the end of this wait.
Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I would love for us to spend a little bit of time in prayer for anyone who's listening that needs encouragement. And I'm going to give each of you guys an opportunity. Lauren, do you want to start?
Sure. Yes. Heavenly Father, we just, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness that we've talked about today, and the fact that you care about each and every one of us, Lord, and you you desire for us to be in relationship with you, Lord. And we just, I pray for those who may be walking the same road that I am right now of still in that wait and still, you know, without a child in the home. And I just pray, God, that you would just put your arms around them. I pray that you would help them to see that you remember them, that you you have not forgotten them, that they're not alone. I pray, God, that you would be with others who are in this journey as well, maybe at different in different places, that you would just continue to show your faithfulness to them. And I just pray and ask all these things in your name.
Father God, we praise you. And you tell us in your word in Psalm 139 that all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And we praise you for that. And we thank you because in the difficult seasons of waiting and the unknowns, we are reminded that you have made the promise that our days have been ordained. And we might not know what tomorrow brings, but you sure do. And we can rest in that. And I pray for those who are listening who are in that wait, Lord, give them the strength strength and the peace and the courage to continue walking with you, to be in your word, to be in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would send those to comfort them and to encourage them. Yes. But Lord, you are our ultimate encourager. And mm-hmm. so, Lord, meet each person where they are. And Lord, we rejoice where you have answered prayer. We mm-hmm. rejoice in the children that you have brought into homes of families who have been praying for years and years. Lord, we praise you for who you are, and we thank you for always being with us in each moment and each season.
Amen. Amen. Well, you guys, this went by really fast.
Too fast.
Too fast. But I so appreciate you ladies coming on and being vulnerable about what your Mother's Day experiences look like and how you feel during those days. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to the mamas who have kiddos in their home and to the mamas who are still waiting, because you've been a mama to lots of other kiddos, mm-hmm. Lauren. Yes. I'm looking at you with all the kids that are probably like, yes, Miss Lauren. But anyway, happy Mother's Day from Hannah's heart.